Welcome to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. This is the 25th episode. I am one of your hosts, Lee Brushknight, and I'm joined by your other host, Mark Davis. Happy 25th episode, bud.
Happy 25th episode. How are you today? How are you feeling?
I feel great.
Good.
I have some podcast facts for you and our listeners just to wrap Ooh. Up. It's not quite the end of the year, but it's the 25th episode, so I feel like it's a good little mile marker for, yeah. for where we're at. We launched our first episode on July 1st, 2018, which is earlier this year, as of the recording. And we have currently 21 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. So we've probably asked for five-star reviews. This will be our 25th time. So that means three times, totally ineffective. Nobody was picking up on that. Half of our listeners are listeners on Apple Podcasts. So they're just totally ignoring us, basically.
Yeah, they just do not care.
If you're listening right now on Apple Podcasts and you haven't left us a review, you're holding us back. You know, just unsubscribe. Just you got
Don't
it.
Do that.
We gave you 25. Just get the fuck out of here. Okay. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. But please do leave us a podcast. Our longest episode was episode 13, Powerful Carnival Sperm. It was a 107-minute long episode. So if you're a new listener and you haven't dug back into the archives and you got a nice long road trip or something, check out episode 13. Geographically speaking, 28% of our listeners live in Florida. And can you guess our next most popular U.S. state?
I think you told this, said this before.
Things are shifting, though. Things are shifting.
I'm going to say New York.
No.
It was New York?
It's not New York.
But was it New York?
It might have been. I'm sure it's been hopping around. We did have a big New York base, but they've slipped. So now we have 13% in which U.S. state? We have 13% of the state. No, I'm just kidding. 13% of our listeners.
I'll say Oregon.
No, you're closer, though. It is, I almost said Canada, not a U.S. state.
No.
California.
It's a U.S. country. California, Hey-o, okay.
California, 13. Shout out to our Californian listeners.
Thanks, bro. Now that number just plummeted to 2%.
Unsubscribe. Our biggest international audience, we actually have a tie between two countries, one of which is, of course, Canada.
Of course.
Our neighbors to the north. But the other, where do you think?
China?
No, mate, it's Australia.
Oh, Australia, fantastic.
Australia.
Dingo, dingo, dingo.
Let's see, what else do we got here? Besides our pilot, our highest downloaded episode was episode 11 with our guest, Mike. Mike breaks the internet.
Oh, he did breaks the internet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the prophecy came true. And then our most popular clip, judging by our YouTube views, Paul McCartney and John Lennon jerk off game reactions from episode 12 of Beatles and Biscuits.
What a beautiful thing.
Yeah, where you actually dropped that on me during the podcast. We were recording and I had not heard this news story and you just let me
I was sure that you had heard it. I don't know why, but I was like, you must have read this fucking story, guys. I just figured I know Beatles news comes up for me because of whatever algorithms. And,
yeah.
You know,
we've got a high. I've noticed that based on our write-in questions, a lot of people interested in Beatles, a lot of people interested in Disney. That seems to be like our most requested topics or with the rate my questions and miscorrections. People seem to have a lot of knowledge about that. But yeah, those we will be addressing both of those topics, I believe, in this episode, this 25th episode, but which is just massive, by the way. We have a full slate of things to talk about here. We've even got a new segment coming up later.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And this is so new, I don't even know about it. So
it's going to be best worst answers. So all the best worst answers of the week. Yeah, we're going to do that before the final question. We're going to move some stuff around. We're going to do a rate my question in the intro here in a second. But first, we have a few topics that we need to talk about. Topic number one. Mark, you had an encounter at were you playing trivia or you were just
I was actually filling in for drums with local band the Free Coasters.
Oh yeah, the Free Coasters.
And they were playing at Big Blue Brewery, so we got there and I got set up and I went up to the bar to get a drink.
By the way, side note, get the Free Coasters album show up.
Yes,
it's amazing.
Absolutely, and they're going to be working on a new album at the beginning of next year, which is going to be. The songs they've been working on for it are so good.
Can't wait.
So I'm sitting there and I could feel this like guy looking at me and I turned over and he's like,
I'm Australian.
He's like, no? Yeah, you look really familiar. Da 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 da. And I was like, I work in the mall. No. Finally, he's like, do you do trivia? I go, yeah. And this guy was, I meant to look up the question exactly what it was. I can't remember how it was worded, but he's like, you asked a question about what's the only river that I can't remember. It was like flows or runs north to south, whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I remember that. And he's like, I said it was the Congo. I don't know if I did or not.
Right.
Cannot be verified.
Yeah. I don't believe that's true.
But, so yeah. He was just like,
the correct answer though is the Amazon, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so too. I think so too, if memory serves correct.
But yeah, so like he was really pissed off because I gave this answer. He's like, there was this other answer, or it was this answer instead. He's like, and every single day my friend won that round or won that night. And every single day, if he gets pissed off at me, he'll bring up how he beat me at trivia because of that question. And he was like hunting me down. It was like, wow. He was trying to find me ever since that day.
Yeah.
Should have just came to
Nate. Do you remember my face? You probably recognize my voice. Or no, what is it from Sin City?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know my voice?
Oh,
my
so
face
good.
Has changed, but I bet you recognize my voice. What actor was that? Nick Stahl, right?
Yeah.
Was that his name? Nick Stahl?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The yellow bastard.
That yellow bastard, yeah.
That's
interesting, yeah. A good trivia run-in encounter. I always run into people that know you, but they know you as a trivia host, but they don't know about the podcast. They don't know that we're friends, but they'll like come to my trivia and they're like, do you know Mark Davis? I'm like, yeah, I do. Of course I know. Of course I know Mark Davis.
Are you kidding me? And then you throw one of those stickers. What?
The next thing I wanted to ask you about was Fletcher's tiebreaker grief. You told me that Fletcher had some beef with a question that I asked.
I don't think it was Fletcher. I think it was everybody there.
Oh, okay.
I heard it was a Wet Boys Fletcher, and Seth.
Fletcher gave me a rundown of his grief in person.
Okay.
But I know he talked to you about it first.
Well, he didn't talk to me about it. Oh, Jamie had talked to me about it.
All right. So Seth.
And said that basically spoke for the table and said that everybody at the table was like, what the hell was that?
Yeah. Well, they lost. And then, that's why. They lost on this simple tiebreaker.
And then Seth, I think even, I don't know if he was just agreeing.
Let's introduce it, though.
Okay.
The tiebreaker question was, what is your body? And so this was the end game tiebreaker for everybody. So I invited Seth and Fletcher up, representatives from their team. Seth representing himself, of course. Fletcher representing the Wet Boys. And they came up and I said, you know, my normal tiebreaker rules, you know, shout it out as soon as you know it. But if you answer and I don't give you an immediate, you know, you got it, you have to wait for the other person to answer before you can guess again.
Right.
Which is just standard fare. That has nothing to do with the difficulty or simplicity of the question. And the question that I asked was, when you sniff black pepper, what is your body's normal reaction? And Seth immediately said, sneeze, which is the correct answer that I'm looking for.
That is correct.
Fletcher, so yeah, I got grief from the Wet Boys, or whatever their name was, because you were absent that night. I got some grief from them about asking that question, but I explained to Fletcher, and as you know, listeners, Fletcher's been on the podcast many
times.
Very smart guy, very quick, very knowledgeable, but this time Seth got him. And I told Fletcher, I think there's a beautiful poetry in you being thwarted by such a simple question.
Mm.
You know, I found his soft spot, you know?
Yeah.
And now I can exploit that, and I'm looking forward to doing so.
You know what I would like You know what I'd like to see is a Seth versus Fletcher trivia face-off.
Don't we have the perfect venue for something like that?
I think we do.
I think we need to get something like that.
I mean,
that
that's
going.
A lot of pressure. It would be a lot to ask both of them to do it, but I feel like
I'm sure at some point they'll be on the podcast again and we can just do a couple questions fire.
Who do you think would win?
All right, all things being equal, so let's say we do like six questions, you know, three categories to each of their knowledge base with some element of crossover. I don't know. Seth has that age,
yeah.
You know, he's got and I think his quick response in the tiebreaker suggests that he has more random access memory. You know, he can flip through his dark place quicker. Let's actually move on to that. We have a question from Max, who's also been on the podcast just a couple episodes ago. Max from Team Moist. He writes, If you had to visualize it, what does your dark place look like? For instance, I always picture mine as myself frantically going through unorganized papers on a desk or something that have been pulled out of filing cabinets, but I keep picking up the same four pages over and over again until I find the right one. Thoughts? Comments? Concerns? I have several concerns. This sounds like a nightmare.
I might be a little...
Same four pages
that,
over and over.
Yeah, that sounds like a night terror where you wake up and you can't move, but you feel like this being in the room.
Seek help, Max.
Yeah,
seek help.
Seriously. I don't know what my dark place looks like. I feel kind of like, I don't necessarily think I see this, but I feel like I'm running through like a bunch of tall filing cabinets. You know what I mean? Kind of like the lawnmower man. Like a third person.
It's like a
person,
virtual
like a POV.
Yeah.
Where I'm just like...
You're rendered in shitty 3D.
Exactly.
You're like, I've got 8 polygons.
I look like Tron made by 12-year-olds.
Yeah. I look like I should be in the Dire Straits Money for Nothing video. Interesting.
I look like a high rent Max Headroom. Jesus
Christ. Well, I'll tell you what mine's like.
Okay.
My dark place, I'm sitting in a pure white room. I know it's called The Dark Place, but mine's white.
Okay.
Mine's white. Lawrence Fishburne, circa 1999, appears and tells me, this is the construct. It's a loading program. No, but seriously, I don't try to like visualize it. I try to think of it like more abstractly and symbolically. Like these, almost like, think of Wikipedia without words. And all of the bits of knowledge are just like intuitions about relationships with each other. You know, so like on a very simple like level, wheel is related to car, is related to road, you know, but think of all these as trivia. And I feel like I'm trying to like hop between these nodes, these symbolic nodes. That's kind of how I think about it, because I feel like if you visualize it, you can kind of get caught up in like a visual representation of what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
However, mm-hmm. maybe I could stand to do a little visualization. I'm thinking with something like the periodic table, it would probably help if I visualized that. You know, if I had like a mental picture, almost you like know, a photographic memory or something.
Funny enough, because we were just talking about shitty questions about related to the periodic table. Another friend of mine on Facebook who does not come to my trivia, actually doesn't even live in the country, has dedicated herself to relearning the periodic table and knew the first like 22 or 23 elements off the top of her head. So when people say, oh, these impossible questions, they're not impossible.
No,
it's just a matter of knowing a lot of stuff. And the more stuff you know, whether it be sports or science or whatever, the more you just take in, the better you get. It's like exercising. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the more you know, when you go directly trying to take stuff in, it gets easier and easier.
Yeah.
And it's like going to the gym, but for your brain. This is so stupid. But yeah, it's, you know,
I actually hopped on YouTube the other day and I started like learning like the periodic table with this like YouTube trainer.
It was amazing.
And it was talking about visualizations actually. So I can recall the first two very easily right now. And I'll tell you the secret here. It's hydrogen and helium. Mm. And here's how I remember that's one and two. Hydrogen, you want to think of a fire hydrant, hydrogen, and then imagine it attached to a balloon. The balloon has helium in it.
Okay.
And then
the third one,
okay. So the hydrant is now floating in the air. There's like a whole like story you're supposed to memorize, and then there's a bee that is stinging it. Fuck, I can't remember what it is.
Well,
though.
See, that's the thing.
God damn it. Is it beeum? Buzzium? God damn it. This whole system's breaking down.
Straight jacket 'em.
Oh man. All right. Well, yeah.
I said straight jacket, but I meant yellow jacket. Sorry about that.
That is one crazy bee. All right. So okay. those are the three things that we wanted to get to right out of the way here. That's really interesting about your Big Blue interaction. I wonder if we'll have
more. I hope we have some closure.
I hope
there.
Somebody comes up to you at your job and goes, oh, wait a second, I recognize your voice. So do you have a podcast? That'll be the day. You know?
That will be the day.
That will be the day. All right. Before we do our weekly wrap up, let's take care of a little rate my question.
Ray Romano.
Kristen wrote in, first she wrote in with a comment about the guy who knows everything's winner picks a topic for the next week idea.
Mm-hmm.
She writes, once Fletcher and I were in Chicago, shout out to Josh, and the host seemed to have a similar process that the winner from the previous week got to pick a category for next week's trivia. When we walked in, the category was Mean Girls. Mean Girls.
Mean Girls.
Yeah, the girls, they have gone wild. Who said that in Mean Girls?
I have no idea. I've never seen Mean Girls.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that is a well-delivered line by... I'm going to get it wrong now. I think it's Tim Meadows' character, but it might be another character. It's not Amy Poehler. Maybe it's a side character, like another teacher. Anyways, if you haven't seen, do you remember? What is the line? The girls have gone wild. Kyle Ann isn't here. Just chilling.
Hi, Kyle Ann.
Yeah. Anyways, Kristen writes, I wonder if this presents an unfair advantage to the previous week's winners to have, the winner pick the topic for the next week. It seems like it could create a cycle. Would other rounds help make it up? What do you think about that idea, Mark? Is it unfair to have the winners pick a topic for the next week?
I don't know that it's unfair. I mean, they're picking the topic, but they're not picking the question.
Right.
So, I mean, they may have a little bit of an edge, but I mean...
In fact, I think as a quizmaster, you're probably more likely, if somebody suggests like, oh, this is the topic that I want, you're going to be like, oh, that's what you want?
So here's how it gets equalized, I guess, is that... You say what the category for the next week's trivia is going to be at that trivia. So, you know, you and Kylie Ann win.
Yeah.
I go, next week, what's going to be the topic? And then you say, celery. And then I get on the microphone and go, okay, everybody who's here, the topic next week is going to be celery. So you guys do have a little bit of an advantage because that's specifically what you think you know a lot about. And that you already have like an advanced like knowledge in. But it still gives everybody else a week. To research fucking various properties of celery or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I don't think that's unfair.
I tried this out a little bit last night, actually, but instead of giving it to the winner, I gave it to the last place. You know, it's kind of an incentive like, hey, come back. You know, you'll have some power next time. So I asked in front of everybody. I said, okay, so what's the topic that one of our questions is going to be from? And he took about 2 seconds and he goes, the universe.
Jesus Christ, what an asshole.
Yeah, he was put on the spot, though, and in my head I was like, I ask questions about like space and shit every week. But I'm gonna find something good for Joel. Okay, and Kristen also writes, I also really love questions that have multiple answers. Once at Nice Guys, we had to name the historical figures Bill and Ted got for their history project. Do questions with multiple answers make it harder, more time-consuming for you to score? If so, is it worth you to keep asking them?
Yeah, it's harder.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's not the end of the world, but that is the best stuff where if you know the stuff yourself, then it's way easier.
Right.
If you don't know, then you're constantly looking back going, okay, where, you know.
Yeah, if you're looking at like a list of 50 state capitals for every, you know, scoring. That's going to get out
exactly.
of hand.
Yeah,
but if it's a list of like 6 or 7 items that you can keep in your head as a quizmaster, it's not a hindrance, really.
Can you name the 4 actresses from the Golden Girls?
Let's see here. There's Bea Arthur.
Great.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Betty White. Thank you for the assist on that. I was like, holy shit, how did I forget Betty White's name, apparently, in my head.
The 2 tougher ones.
Yep. Which I'm going to recognize when you say them, but I can't pull them up right now.
Rue McClanahan.
Don't even recognize that one.
She was Blanche. And Estelle Getty.
Estelle Getty, right. And she was the youngest cast member.
And she was, yeah.
But played the oldest character. Yeah. Yep. Amazing. Amazing. Okay, so here are the rate my questions, finally.
Okay.
After that.
By the way, that Golden Girls question?
Yeah.
That's a 10.
Yeah.
Just saying. I mean, I would rate that the highest.
Yep. Which Disney princess is the only one to receive a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
Whew.
I think it's a good question right out of the gate.
That's a great fucking question.
I don't know the answer.
What is it again?
What is which Disney princess is the only one to receive a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
Which Disney princess is the only one to receive a star on the Walk and...
Thanks for doing this. You can't just type it out
on the walk-in. No,
is this you're searching for pictures of Christopher Walken now?
Well, that's not a Disney princess. I don't know.
My guess is I didn't look this up though. My guess is Pocahontas, because I maybe there's another one that. You know what? No. I'm taking that back right now. Oh,
I would think it's got to be Cinderella or.
All right, here's my new guess.
Well, there's that General Prince Charming guy, and I keep feeling like there's like a woman version of it. Aren't like two or three of like the Disney princesses supposed to be the same person or something weird like that?
I don't know about that. That's weird. Like, what do you mean the same person? Like a time traveler or something? Or
no, I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, now I'm thinking
maybe I think it's Prince Charming though.
Well, Prince Charming is not a Disney princess, though.
No, no, I know. But it was the inverse.
My new guess is Mary Poppins. I don't know why. I feel like they were trying.
Is she a Disney princess?
Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm less certain about that than I am about Sesame Street characters being Muppets.
So when I search for that mm-hmm. with my very my secretive Hey Siri. The only answer I'm getting is Mickey Mouse.
Is Mickey, well, does Minnie, yeah, does Minnie have a
no
list of fictional characters here with a Hollywood Walk of Fame? Here it is. Snow White.
That's what I was thinking of, one of them.
I'm guessing maybe because that was, wasn't that Disney's first full length featured animated movie?
I think it was the first full featured animated movie.
Right, yeah. So that would make sense. Okay.
The 1930s.
And then we have that's a great question.
That is fantastic.
And a very reasonable answer that I'm a little embarrassed I wasn't able to suss out, you know.
I figured it would be related to, you know, the fact that they were I just couldn't remember which it was. I was thinking Cinderella, but
that was I went there first, but I was like, maybe there's a real life connection, you know. Yeah. That's why I drifted over to Mary Poppins. Like, oh, that could be, you know. It's like, oh, it's semi fictional, live action, semi animated movie. Here's a second rate my question that we got from Kristen. I know we're chock full of content this episode. Kristen writes, "What do the letters stand for in Epcot?" This is I was thinking extreme profit center of opulent transactions. Very okay. expensive. Very expensive.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It's probably not right, though. What a coinky dink that would be.
Epcot.
You see, we have guests in the studio. They don't silence their phones. It's a beautiful melody, though.
It is beautiful.
I would have that be my alarm, not my...
No.
My ringtone would be like... Da, 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 somebody's calling you! Fuck you! It's a phone! Fuck! Anyway. Epcot. What does Epcot stand for?
I have no idea. That's a great question.
Epcot acronym.
Something, something, something of tomorrow.
Yeah, actually, that's right. Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow.
Huh.
Interesting. Yeah, I try to seriously answer that, and I was thinking maybe the T was technology, because there's a lot of, like, technology at Epcot, but that, big globe at Epcot... Is that Spaceship Earth? Is it inside that globe at Epcot?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was designed by, do you know what scientist, mathematician, artist designed that?
No.
His name is Buckminster Fuller.
I've heard that name.
Yeah, if you've ever seen on the playgrounds, like the giant ball structure, that's like, he designed that too. He was like really into like mathematical relationships of spheres and stuff like that. And he was also a futurist, very fascinating character.
Huh.
And there's actually a like nanoparticle material named after him known as Bucky Balls, which were okay. going to be, you know, it's like thermoconductive. You can like send electricity through it. Thermoreductant, like fire reductant.
Huh.
And 10 times stronger than steel. But then graphene came out and that became the hot material of the day in the material sciences. So it's a little bit of extra information for you there. All right. Those are our rate my questions. Why don't we get into our weekly wrap up now?
All righty.
All right. First, on Monday, it was your team, the Wet Boys.
Hello.
Who took home the victory at Three Pepper Burrito Company.
Hi.
And even 100 points.
Even 100.
Yeah. Pretty good. And then on Wednesday at Bury Me Brewing, it was Team Unicorn that won with 72 points. They were out-of-towners. So I always love when, you know, the locals are there feeling relaxed, and then just this couple, oh, we're just visiting family for the holidays. We're just
We're just here for a drink. Yeah,
just here for a drink. We might stay the whole night or one round, you know. Yeah. And then
you know what? Just give us the first round.
Yeah. As the rounds pile up and the victories pile up, they get that taste of victory.
That's what I had on one of my Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
Good thing.
And then at number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in Cape Coral, it was Meme Team that won with 63 points. How about your venue, Mark? Nice Guys Pizza.
Oh, let me tell you something about my venue and Nice Guys Pizza. We had a pretty good turnout, but it was a dwindler. You know what I mean? Just every round. I feel like it was one of my easier weeks in recent memory. But we had another last round winner.
I was so upset because I was there in the second place team.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you were. So you were with Jamie.
I was with the Wet Boys.
Yeah, you were with the Wet Boys.
I was taking your spot, basically. Yep.
And
with Kylian.
With Kylian.
Mm-hmm.
And won the first two rounds pretty handily, but it was pretty neck and neck.
We were so confident that we were talking about donating our prizes to other teams.
Yeah.
You know, we were like, we don't even want, we're just here for the glory, and we're just fucking winning.
Yes.
Right now. And then at the very
last round.
Oh my God, it was a terrible round. I think we got one right, maybe.
The Alaskan Flying Swamp Monkeys. A ragtag team. Two guys were sitting at the bar, talking it up with another team.
Cheaters.
That comes all the time. Moist with a side of nuts.
This is a different Moist team, though, right?
This is a different Moist team. This was, I'm going to say it. It was the original Moist team.
Wow. Wow.
They were calling themselves Moist for Moist. It's a lady who used to work, or she works
in...
I'm
not trying to ask who they are, but what I'm trying to say is, who the fuck do they think they are?
Oh, who do they think they are? Oh.
No, Max and Lucas.
Oh. Wow, I whiffed on that twice.
Triple threat here.
Well, I don't think they ever heard the... Maybe they... Wouldn't that be funny if, like, in the recesses around one of the ones they went to, Moist was there, and it would just got, like, stored in their brain?
Nothing's original these days.
Nothing's original.
Yeah. All right, well, congratulations, a reluctant congratulations to them, but a big congratulations to all of the other teams that came out to No Nonsense Trivia this week. If you missed it and you want to join in the fun, upcoming No Nonsense Trivia challenges are happening on Monday, December 17th at Three Pepper Burrito Company in downtown Fort Myers, Florida. On Wednesday, December 19th, No Nonsense Trivia will be at Bury Me Brewing Company for a special Christmas edition of the No Nonsense Trivia Challenge. 4 rounds starting at 7 p.m., bring a toy to donate to Toy for Tots. You can get 10% off your bill that night at Bury Me Brewing on Wednesday. And then afterwards, we'll swing
and on... 5 bonus points.
For what?
And 5 bonus points.
Sure, sure. We'll give you some bonus points.
There you go.
Yeah. Afterwards, we'll swing on over to Nice Guys Pizza and enjoy some pizza and trivia courtesy of my co-host here, Mark. And
hi.
Thursday, December 20th, you can find us at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in Cape Coral. You can find out more information about all of our live events online at nononsensetrivia.com. All of the No Nonsense events are free to play, and you can win prizes after every round. Join us.
Won't you?
That's great.
Beautiful.
Yeah. All right. Are you ready for a break?
I'm ready for a break.
Very, yeah, I'm sure very our listeners so. Are ready for
it
a little break.
It feels like
too.
This has gone on forever.
Yeah.
But
well, hey,
we just get so much stuff. It's the 25th.
It's the 25th episode, and I'm so happy that people are even interested to write in. So we just wanted to get that out of the way. I imagine there's probably a segment of our audience that's like, I'm here for the trivia, and they skip over all this shit. But you know what? They can hit that skip button just about, let's see here, 25 more times if it's down by 30 seconds to get to the trivia. But we're going to take a little break right now, and then we'll be back in round one with some trivia. What a nice break.
Yes. How fantastic.
Very relaxing break.
Sometimes we just sit here. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we go our separate ways. Mm-hmm. This was somewhere in between.
I stretched my toes out. Did you do anything to, you know, bring that extra relaxation?
No.
I did toe rotations and stretches.
Okay. You know? Yeah. I visualized a sandy beach.
Cool. Oh, he's doing it now.
The wind caressing over my nude body.
It feels like you're trying to force it a little bit. I don't know what kind of place this is. Not the dark place. It's
This is a light place.
Okay.
You know.
Oh, you're getting into it now. You know what?
Get centered.
Your shirt color is like kind of a seafoam green.
You like that?
Yeah.
You like that?
Very nice. Very nice. First mark we should give before we get into trivia. We should say thank you.
Thank you so much.
Patreon supporters, as
usual. We appreciate
you. Keeping the lights on. Our proverbial light keepers, Max and Lucas. Our Rumpelstiltskins. Our lit heads here to get lit with some literature. Don't worry, guys. I'm going to throw another one at Mark. He hates them. He hates when I ask book questions. We got one coming your way, Mikes. Don't you worry.
Fantastic.
And of course, team captains.
Fletcher and
Fiston and Ketcher.
Yes.
Fiston and Ketcher. Yeah.
Fliston.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks, guys. If you are listening and you've got some extra dollars this holiday season, as everybody does, you can support us on Patreon by going to our new website, courtesy of, the proverbial lightkeepers. Well, all of our Patreons, really, for supporting us. But also courtesy of Fletcher for pointing out, you can go to thenono.com and you can click the support link. That's theknownow.com. Click the support link in the upper right, and that will take you to our Patreon page.
Happy 25th episode.
Happy 25th, and thanks, Fletcher, for the great suggestion of the URL for this podcast. No longer will you have to go to nononsense.fireside.fm. You will now be delightfully redirected to that website by typing in thenono.com.
Beautiful.
All right. Let's get into some trivia.
All right. Here is your first question. How many denominations of Euro coins are there?
First of all, you motherfucker, I'm going to be asking you a question about currency
first.
That's wild.
Well, no, you aren't going to be doing it first because I did it first.
Well, I meant my first question to you. What a strange coincidence.
How wonderful.
Yeah. And you went European. Mine will be American in theme. So we're really covering a lot of ground here.
We are.
I'm trying to avoid answering this question, though.
Okay. Yeah. It's a tough one.
How many did you say the euro?
Yes.
Number of denominations?
Euro coins. So coins.
Oh, coins.
Yeah.
Oh, this this is even worse than I imagined when I first started thinking about this question. So, what is even So a euro is like our equivalent of the dollar. I don't even know what the fractional currency of the euro is. A half euro? Quarter euro? Can't be a penny euro. This is, I don't know, man. Ooh, this is, you know, I'm going to say they had some time to refine the system because the euro came to prominence, I believe, in the 90s, late 90s, early aughts is when it was created. So they had some time to do some rounding, maybe. So we have the penny, the nickel, the dime, the quarter. We also have the half dollar and the silver dollar. And I believe we have... we have a coin that's maybe that's not in circulation though. That's higher than that, but that's six right there for us. I'm going to say that they've refined their system a little bit. Let's go with four.
They actually went in the opposite direction. The answer is eight.
Oh, wow.
They have a one, a two, a five, a 10, a 20, and a 50 cent.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got more options.
They still call them cents.
Yes.
Okay.
And then they have 1 euro and a 2 euro coin also.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Tough one.
Okay. Here is my question for you related to currency. What is the lowest denomination bill that the United States ever minted?
The lowest denomination
bill?
Paper bill. Paper bill.
Yep.
Well, it's at least a dollar. I can't imagine. Let's say 25 cents.
Go lower.
Is it a penny?
A little higher. Never a penny bill.
Okay. 5 cents.
Meet me in the middle.
What did I say before?
One in five.
Oh, one in five. Three?
Yes. 3 cents.
Really?
A 3 cent bill is the lowest denomination. You can find pictures of that. And there was a 5 cent bill as well. So I think those were the first two that they made. as far as lowest goes. All right, so what's another question you got for me? Another currency?
No, but another country.
Okay.
Another currency. March of the Volunteers is the anthem for which country?
March of the Volunteers
is the anthem.
For which country?
For which country tis of you?
March of the Volunteers. Mm. I knew this at one point.
Mm-hmm. And then what happened?
I forgot it.
Okay. Perfect.
I don't know why. Isn't there a song called the Kentucky Volunteer? It's like an early American. It's like one of the first like written pieces of American music or something like that.
I do not know.
The Kentucky Volunteer. I remember that very clearly being the title. I asked that in my 4th of July trivia this year.
Uh-huh.
I was, what state is the volunteer from in the famous song? Not so famous, turns out. Nobody knew that shit. Everybody wrote down Tennessee.
I had no clue.
Everybody wrote down Tennessee, but I believe it's Kentucky. The March of the Volunteers, I'm leaning towards Canada right now. I think it's Canada. So I'm going to, I would write that down, I think, if I was soloing it.
The answer is another sea country. China.
Oh, really? Oh, that makes more sense China. With the name.
Yep.
Yeah. Force volunteers.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically.
Air quotes volunteers.
Yeah. big old air quotes right. Around that.
Gigantic.
Big old air quotes. All right. Man. Yeah. You know what? Did I know that? I must have come across that. It sounds so familiar, but I really thought it was Canada. Good to know. China.
Yeah.
China.
There you go.
So I'll visualize that. I'll just put the two sea country names next to each other. And I'll attach balloons to them and send them off into the air. That's how I'll remember.
Perfect.
March of the Volunteers. I'm volunteering to donate my grandmother's china because I don't want it. China. Volunteering it. There we go. See?
Perfect.
There we go. Okay.
You got it.
I have a, I'm gonna give you a choice here. No, okay. You know what? I'm not. Okay. I'm just going to ask you. Right. I said I was going to ask a book question. Here it is. This is for the mics.
Fantastic.
I feel like you might get this one, though.
Okay.
In the weeks following the celebrity chef's death in June of this year, just before we started our podcast, hot on the heels of Anthony Bourdain's death, we just said, you know what? Let's continue his memory and make a podcast.
There you go.
You remember when we said that?
I don't.
We said it at the exact same time. It was so weird. We were having breakfast and we said, we need to make a podcast in the memory of Anthony Bourdain. And then we thought we should expand it out into more trivia than just
there
him.
There you go.
You know, but we're huge fans over here. Anyways, in the weeks following the celebrity chef's death in June of this year, what Anthony Bourdain book topped the New York Times bestseller list for three weeks in a row?
When did it come out?
The book came out, I believe, in the 90s, but it surged in popularity after he died.
All right. I know it's
his most famous book.
Yeah. And I...
We have some good best worst answers for this later, too.
Man, what the hell is it called? This is such a rotten feeling.
March of the Culineers.
Something confidential. Ooh, those eyebrows damn near perked off the top of your head.
You don't
Kitchen
say.
Confidential.
Yes, it is Kitchen Confidential. Yes. All right. See, I told you could pull that one out.
I thought there was no way, Lee.
Yep.
I thought there was no way.
You finally got a book question right. I feel like it's been a while on the podcast.
I'm sure
this
it
is
has.
Like akin to me getting a periodic table question right.
Yeah.
By the way, hydrogen or helium? Anytime you want to fire those at me,
Can I tell you? I actually, I was laughing earlier because I was looking through my phone and found I'm using a repository because you came to my trivia.
Yeah.
And actually found a question that is related to the elements, and I was fighting on whether or not to ask you, but now I think I might have to drop it in your lap.
Okay.
What are the three most abundant elements in the universe?
Well, those would be the top three, I believe. So let's say hydrogen, helium, and man, this is the third one that had the B, and it was popping the balloon in my visualization learning with the stinger. Pop, sting, the third element. bee sting, popping balloon, explosion. I don't know. Is it like, oh, wait. I don't even know if the first three elements relate to their proximity in the universe, but I'm finishing this train because I just remember the stinger bores through the side of the balloon and it's borium. That is the third element of the periodic table. I don't give a fuck if they're right. I got that. I'm feeling good.
The correct answer is hydrogen, helium, and oxygen.
Of course. Why would borium be more prevalent than oxygen?
You got so caught up there. You got so caught up.
I wonder, why didn't I remember oxygen? There must have been a middle step in there in my visualization I'm forgetting. These fucking memory experts. Just visualize a story. It gets all confabulated in my brain. God damn it. All right. I've got another kitchen question for you. This might actually be my favorite question I've ever written.
Okay.
So
this is heavy.
I've got a good one. This is my favorite, and then I have probably the worst, maybe even worse than black pepper making you sneeze coming at the end, but it'll be entertaining. I don't think anybody's going to know it, but it's another ancient meme question. That's going to be my final question. So we'll get to that though. Here's a kitchen question. And again, probably my favorite question I've ever written. If you fancied yourself a nut enthusiast, what are the three types of fresh walnuts you'd want to have in hand at all time? If you fancied yourself a nut enthusiast, what are the three types of fresh walnuts that you'd want to have on hand every time? You know, because you like nuts so much.
Right.
This one over better. You're a nut enthusiast. In the live crowd.
I don't even know their names of walnuts.
You're going to learn today.
I am. Yep. That's what's so bewildering.
These are kind of the three main types.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you may as well just give them to me because I have
You don't
no
want
idea.
To take a stab?
I mean, fucking, I have no clue. I wouldn't even know what kind of name they have.
Well, let's say you're at a trivia environment and this question's asked. Like, what are you, you're just going to leave a blank?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
Man. All right.
This I feel so lost on. I wouldn't even know. I guess maybe I'd write like kinds of trees. I don't know.
Interesting. That's a good. You could also go flavor, color, or region. How about that for some hints? Ooh.
Are those, you said flavor, color, or region?
Yeah.
Is but that one of each?
Well, no flavor really, but I'm just saying that could be an avenue that you could use to explore, like trees. You could say what like, you know, like a hazelnut walnut. That wouldn't make any sense, though. That's a whole new nut.
But not that answer.
That's a whole new nut.
That's its own nut. You can't answer that. It's its own nut.
See, that's why I like this question.
That's why they call it hazelnut. It's not a hazelnut walnut.
Anyway, what are these three types of walnuts? You as a nut enthusiast.
The Western walnut, the fucking Eastern walnut, and the chocolate walnut. I have no idea.
Oh, man. The chocolate walnut in the wild?
Out in the wild.
The cacao walnut. No, the answers are the white walnut, the black walnut, and the English walnut.
Yeah.
Which is neither white nor black. It's its own.
Three strikes.
It's
I'm nut. Out.
All right. Yep. So that is that's my third question. I believe that wraps up this round, doesn't it? You asked three?
I think so.
And I asked three. Okay. Well, we're going to take another little short break. We'll be right back with some miscorrections and then more trivia in round two. And we're back, and it's time for some miscorrections.
Miscorrections.
First miscorrection comes to us from Aaron. Aaron writes, so you've probably had a few people write in about this. No, we didn't, Aaron. You're the only one that wrote in, which is why we're reading it right now. But just so you know, Huey Lewis also wrote the song Back in Time for Back to the Future. If you listen to the lyrics, though, it has nothing to do with time travel. The story I've heard is that they asked him to write it, and he wasn't into doing anything so heavy-handed as to write a song about the movie or the plot, so he wrote around the title instead. So this is like, I guess I can't remember it off the top of my head, but it's more of a Summer of 69 style song than a time travel song.
It's not a time, it's like, you go back in time. I think it's something like that. I remember
that sounds like working 9 to 5.
A little bit.
Shame on you, Huey Lewis, for ripping off Dolly Parton, if that is in fact a correct replication of your melody that Mark just sang.
With your giant penis.
Yeah. You're chode. I looked up online after we named our last episode, Huey Lewis's chode. Apparently that's a very derogatory term. You shouldn't use that word.
Oh,
apparently.
Sorry.
It's like a micro penis or something like that, which that sounds medical. I don't know. Maybe they should make chode medical.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Put it in
You go, all right, son, drop your drawers. Whoa, look at that chode. That is medically a chode.
I can just see him poking it with a pen. Yeah, just mark him down as chode.
Ribbit. I guess because it rhymes with toad.
Chode stool.
Just going there. Okay, and then we have another miscorrection from Tim on the subject of Amistad. Tim writes, Amistad is Spanish for friendship. I'm guessing the reason that Lee thought it was a West African word is because of the famous Amistad incident of 1839, where a group of West Africans who were kidnapped and forced into slavery in Cuba were being transported to a plantation on a ship named Amistad, and they successfully revolted and hijacked the vessel. I believe that's the plot of the movie as well, based on that. Subsequently, they were captured off of the U.S. coast and tried in court, but won their freedom with the help of abolitionist support, thus establishing the first human rights case ever to be tried in the Supreme Court. I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
Why does Tim know all of this, though? He says, why do I know all of this? I love this. Because I worked as a crew member on a replica of the Amistad and that was used to sail to various ports and teach the Amistad story! Exclamation point.
There you go.
I love his enthusiasm.
He's so intense. It's beautiful.
How do I know this? This reason.
Motherfucker.
Yeah. I work on boats, if you don't remember.
And I had a miscorrection from Fletcher.
Okay.
Who just wrote in to say, Statler and Waldorf.
Right.
That was the name of the two old men in the balcony.
In the Muppets. Yes. Yeah. So I was not too far off. I think I did say Waldorf.
We did say Waldorf. We were kind of wondering if we were right or wrong, but we couldn't remember the other.
Yeah,
Statler.
I was like, the other was Astoria. Okay. Well, thanks, guys. If you'd like to write into the show, email us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. You can also reach out to us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at nononsense. Oop, I got a little belch there.
Oof. That coffee's hitting you.
Yep. Okay. So let's go ahead and get into our second round here. I have a sports question for you this time.
Okay.
And this thrust many of my players into their dark place this week.
Okay.
I saw one specifically, this guy Kyle at Bury Me Brewing. As soon as I finished the question, his hands shot into his palms. And he started staring into the bar mirror, looking at himself. Why can't I remember this? And you know what? He didn't get it.
Mm.
But maybe you will. Maybe you will. Here it is.
Here we go.
What were the Washington Wizards called before their name change in 1995?
I know this.
All right. So.
So now I'm just going to give everybody a chance to catch up.
Maybe two teams out of 11 got this right this week.
95. You know, it's been interesting because the owner of the Phoenix Suns has been talking about moving their franchise to another place if they don't get the deal they want for their arena. And one of the places they were talking about was Seattle, which you would think that possibly they would turn into the Seattle Supersonics, which had the green and yellow logo.
Right.
Awesomest looking uniforms of all time. So with that talk going on, I've been thinking a lot about teams that had been moving around. We had talked about, I think, you know, the Utah Jazz. There's no Jazz in Utah, was usually, or it used to be.
Yeah, the guy who knows everything wrote in with a question about shifting baseball teams.
Yeah.
Who are the Yankees?
Right.
You know.
So yeah, they were originally. It was probably changed because of all the assassination attempts and high crime rate in Washington D.C. They changed it from the Washington Bullets.
Yes, that's right. Congratulations. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
That's correct. And we will have some best worst answers for that question later on.
Ooh, yeah. That'll be a good one.
Yep.
All right. My shit all fucked up. What the hell? There we go. Okay. Here's my question for you. In 1951, what general told a joint session of Congress, quote, "In war, there is no substitute for victory." In 1951, what general told a joint session of Congress, quote, "In war, there is no substitute for victory."
Yeah. Hmm. 51.
1951.
Yeah. So this is after the Second World War concluded, I believe. So, and this is, who was this general testifying in front of? The joint?
Joint session of Congress.
Joint session. So, I believe that means senators and congressmen together. Pretty rare. I feel like this might be wrong, but I think it's Patton. I think it's General Mike Patton from Faith No More. Yeah. No, General, what is his name? George Patton? Is his real name?
You know what? That's a good question.
Yeah.
Because you're not right.
Oh, I'm not. General. All right, hold on.
Well, yeah, see, now you're going to try and
get it. Yeah, no. Who is it?
It's General Douglas MacArthur.
God, that was the first name that popped in my head. And
George Patton.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. George Patton. That's what I think. No. McCarthy was the first one that popped in my head, which I knew was totally wrong. That's probably why I wrote off MacArthur. Okay, so there's no substitute for victory. MacArthur Park, Jurassic Park, Weird Al, Giant Dinosaur. That's how I'm going to remember that one.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, no substitute for victory, Giant Dinosaur, MacArthur Park, Weird Al, MacArthur.
Of course, victory, dinosaurs ended up getting extinct, so there's really no victory there.
Man, it needs work.
Yeah.
It needs a little work. I'm going off the fly here. Okay, let me give you another question. This is a movies question.
Okay.
Plot details. I'm going to name several actors, and I want you to name the character that they've all played.
Okay.
Ray Liotta, James Russo, Dennis Hopper, and Robert Knepper.
Jeez.
All four of these actors have played the same individual.
Who are they again?
Ray Liotta, James Russo, Dennis Hopper, and Robert Knepper. And I'll tell you, I'll give you a little hint here.
Okay.
I'm going to fractionally give you the hint. This is your 3-cent bill hint.
Okay.
An entertainer. They all played an entertainer.
Yeah, Ray Liotta and Dennis Hopper.
Mm-hmm. I have trouble remembering the other two. I don't know. Do you know James Russo?
I don't know who they are, so it doesn't matter to me. I'm just trying to think of...
Mm-hmm. Pull it in.
Yeah. I feel like this is far away.
Real life entertainer. There's your 5-cent hint.
You know, real life entertainer. Ray Liotta. James Woods. Who's the other one?
Dennis Hopper.
I'm trying to think of someone that Dennis Hopper has been. Because I think that's the most likely case of me knowing, like, a movie that Dennis Hopper has been where he played this real-life guy.
Right. Seems like a rare occurrence. Doesn't do that too frequently. Usually fictional characters.
Right.
Yeah.
Man, I really have no idea.
We've mentioned this person on the podcast in recent weeks.
I'm going to say Babe Ruth.
Ooh, no. Nope.
I don't know if you consider that an entertainer. I guess he's not an entertainer.
Yeah.
Fatty Arbuckle?
No, that would be entertaining, though. See Dennis Hopper playing Fatty Arbuckle. That would be awesome, I think, actually. Frank Sinatra.
Huh, Ray Liotta is Frank Sinatra, film. Huh?
Yep. Interesting. I don't have the names of the movies off the top of my head, but if you search Frank Sinatra on IMDb, I'm sure those movies will come up. Ranging from the 70s to the 90s when all these came in.
Huh.
So that's my second question for you.
All right.
Hope you enjoyed.
Here's your next question.
Okay.
What a fool believes, taking it to the streets, and it keeps you running are all songs by what band?
Well, I'll tell you, What a Fool Believes is one of my favorite songs to play at trivia based on the title alone.
Okay.
Because trivia will make you feel foolish. And actually, I didn't really give this band credit, I think, in my mind until I started playing their music at trivia. And the more I dug into them, the more I enjoyed the sweet, sweet sounds of the Doobie Brothers.
That's correct.
Yep. And I'm going to throw a music question back your way right now.
Let's do it.
I love the parody that we've got going on here.
Yeah, this is very good. It's very back and forth.
This is why I love doing this podcast with you. And hit me, man. I'm glad. 25 right there. As soon as this gets uploaded, we'll have 25 in the pocket. All right. This is, and like I said earlier, we have a lot of Beatles fans that listen. And I know you're a big Beatles fan. So here's some Beatles trivia coming your way.
Okie dokie. Hopefully you don't look foolish.
How many times did the Beatles appear on the Ed Sullivan Show?
Well, I mean, I'm inclined to just say one. They did that, and then they were probably just fucking too big to go back on it.
Hey, this is Joe from the... can I talk to the Beatles? This is Joe from the Ed Sullivan Show. You guys were a big hit last week. Can we have you back on again this week?
These numbers are
quite
impressive.
Quite substantial.
Hello? I'm going to say one.
No. They must have struck some kind of deal because they were on for three consecutive weeks in February of 1964.
Wow.
So your intuition, I think, is right that like it was a very small window. You know, but it was three Sundays in a row.
They were booked
for it. So they did a new song. I think they did I Want to Hold Your Hand first. And then, I don't know, maybe you can clarify that.
I have no idea.
Do you remember the other songs that they did on that?
I thought it was one. I'm
trying to picture it in my mind.
Yeah, I just remember they were just going crazy.
I can skip it in my mind.
Beautiful. Well done.
Thank you, Max, for that title. Okay, so that's my third question. We got one more coming from you.
All right. Here's your last question. Of the second round.
I'm ready.
In 1988, what became the second Asian city to host the Summer Olympics?
88.
What became the second Asian city to host the Summer Olympics?
88. Second Asian country.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to think of... let's see here, in the 80s. So I was very young. I was very young in 1988. About 3 years old, precisely, during the summer.
Did you watch the Olympics that year?
I probably did.
Yeah.
Probably just...
like it or not.
Mom sat me up on a little rocker and went to do her thing, just stuck me in front of those Olympics.
Watch America win, honey. Yep.
And what city did they win in?
That's the question.
Asian city. So... I'm thinking Beijing, Hong Kong, Tokyo, Seoul. What are some other big cities? I feel like these would all be hit first. Would you mind telling me if I got any of those? Is it any of those?
It is one of those.
Oh, yes. Yes. That's the Lawrence Fishburne in my head. he talks like
he has two pills.
That snake from Harry Potter.
Oh yeah,
Nigeria, Nagara, Nagini. Nagaria was the water bottle that I was drinking last night.
It looks
like Viagra.
Hit actress like Kathy Najimy.
Oh, cool. Good to know. That's from the new movies, though, right?
I have no idea.
Who fucking
you're way,
knows?
Yeah,
Who
you're way knows? Far away from anything I know.
All right, so where would they go first? I want to say Tokyo was first, and then we hit Seoul for the Summer Olympics. Summertime, Seoul in the summer, Tokyo in the summer. I don't know. I'm trying to think of like 80s fashion. Like, is there an Olympic design that has like map or sort of flag or something? Just like I said, I'm pulling my Russian Idpedia. My symbolic brain is reaching right now. I feel like it's. I'm gonna go with Seoul.
That's correct.
What?
That's correct. Seoul.
Lucky guess, honestly. I mean,
well,
I narrowed
I mean,
it
you
down.
Narrowed it down to seven, and I think that you were on the right track with a really, really, really popular city would probably be first.
Right.
Like, Tokyo is, come on.
Yeah.
You know.
You hold them for second? Right. Go to Seoul first? Why would you do
what
that?
What is this madness?
Why would you do that? All right. Well, thanks for an excellent question and an excellent round, Mark.
Thank you.
Thank. thank.
The other day, the meme came up from a year ago on Facebook that said all you had to do was clap, and it's Jeb Bush in front of a mushroom cloud. Oh man, it's so funny, but so sad.
Please clap request that. I don't know if it was. I feel like that took him out more than I don't know. Trump pretty much just neutralized him immediately.
Interestingly, at first my thought was that he blew up the Earth because we didn't clap.
Oh.
Then my thought was that the Earth is going to shit because we did not clap for him, and therefore he didn't win the election.
Right.
Very depressing on both fronts.
Oh yeah. Let's get back over into escapism land with more trivia in our third round. We're going to ask some final questions and we're going to introduce our new segment, Best Worst Answer. And we're back in our third and final round, and it's time for our newest segment, Best Worst Answer.
Best Worst Answer.
All right, that was good enough for our first attempt.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Okay, so I'm going to read, did you have any, the whole point of this segment is to read some questions and give the answers that made us chuckle, the answers that were wrong, but they gave us some joy. We want to share that joy with you, because why should we as quizmasters have all the fun with these, you know?
It's true.
They feel sometimes like they're like little notes, like, you know, I don't know the answer, so I'm just going to write in this, like, obviously wrong answer. But I've also got some sincere attempts in here, I think, that are also entertaining. So, what do you got?
Well, the one that I had this past week, I had asked a question of what unit of weight was the equivalent to 0.002 pounds. Mm-hmm. The answer was a gram.
Yeah, we got that.
And I had one person put in pint.
Yeah.
A pint,
right,
is the unit of weight,
right? That, I mean, it is. It's a volumetric.
It's volumetric. Liquid. It is not. Right, it is not weight.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. It's a volumetric measurement.
Yes.
Yeah. Of liquid. Nice try. No. Was that the team that beat us? Please tell me that was them.
I don't think so.
Oh my gosh, the Alaskan Malamutes. What were they called?
The Alaskan Sea Otter? Swamp monkeys.
Swamp monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
What a strange name.
Mm.
There's no swamps in Alaska.
Very nice guys.
Frozen swamps. The frozen swamps of Alaska.
The frozen swamps of Alaska. I'll never forget them.
It's where I got my first job. Cutting down cypress trees. Alaskan cypress trees. Mm. Anyways, let me give you some of my... I'll stop riffing here and give you some of my best worst answers. So I asked the question before Barbara Bush, what first lady's husband and son both served as U.S. president? So Team Unicorn, who actually won at Barry B. Brewing this week, they wrote down, curiously, Jackie Kennedy as the former first lady whose son and husband both served as U.S. president. I'm not aware that we had a second President Kennedy. Are you?
No.
Yeah, that was an interesting one. But this one's even more curious. That same night, John Wick wrote down Taft.
What in that, the
that's
hell?
That's even stranger.
That is very strange. Yeah,
Taft. That seemed like a last second, like, I need to write something down. What is any president? Write down any president, and why Taft out of all of them? I was talking to Kyle.
Popular, but not too popular.
Yeah, I was talking to Kyle about it. I was like, name one thing about Taft. I can't. He was what?
He was a really, really fat president.
Was he?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I thought that was Garfield.
He got stuck in the bathtub.
He got stuck in the bathtub, and so he had to make a bigger bathtub that could fit 4 people in it.
Oh, I want that. I want that.
I
want
to go to there.
Casseroles wrote down Sandra for that one. Sandra, the last first lady. Not even sure that we have... Not even sure that we have a Sandra in the First Lady repository. Then we have some respect coming. These were semi-correct answers. Both you, the Wet Boys, and Lily Lou's Umbrella wrote down Mrs. Adams, which I like. Very respectful and not wrong, like the Moist team wrote down. They wrote down Martha Ann Adams, which is not correct. So they kind of shot their own foot off right there.
That's very interesting to me that you gave us points even though we... purposefully gave only the information we knew.
I didn't ask for a full name, you know?
That's
and,
true.
And if you give extra information that's wrong, then I'm going to say, well, they obviously don't know what they're talking about.
I'm very curious to know what Lucas and Max think of that.
Well, hey, that's how I roll. The correct answer is, of course, Abigail Adams. Next question. What does yeet mean? What does yeet mean? Team Hackerspace went with the possessive your leet. As in, like, this okay. is my leet. That's your leet. It is yeet. James Gang, a baby boomer solo player, wrote down vegetarian eat, which is pretty curious. Like Veet. How you went from the Y to the V on there.
It must be he's German. Was it like or oh. no, like Norwegian?
Yeah,
yeah, Veet.
Yeah, maybe it said vegetarian and I misread it. Seth wrote down yeast. Okay. Driving Moist Daisy wrote this bitch empty.
Okay.
And Team Unicorn wrote some Fortnite bullshit. That's what that is. Which, not wrong, but also not correct.
Did you
correct.
Give points? Okay.
No, it's not correct. It's not wrong, but it's not correct. The correct gotcha. Answer is yes, or some kind of like affirmative exclamation. I also had some teams write down to throw something, which I've seen before in use online, like I'm going to yeet this thing over the wall. I think that's a misuse, though. I mean, that's...
Well, it was funny because we had a day or two earlier looked it up on... Urban Dictionary,
mm-hmm.
and that's when we had seen that it had so many uses. Everything in there is like depends on what part of, you know, right. a sentence you're using it
for. Is it a verb? Is it an adjective? Is it a preposition?
Right.
Prepositional phrase.
Right.
All right, here's another question I offered this week that I won't be giving to you directly, but we'll read some best worst answers here. Who became the first husband and wife to win the Country Music Awards Best Female and Male Singer Award in the same year? Any guesses? I will throw your way.
We answered this.
Oh, yeah, you did. I forgot. I did ask this at yours.
Yeah.
The correct answer is Tim McGraw and Faith Hill. But our bartender at number three, Chris, a.k.a. Cutie with a Booty, he was playing. He wrote down Reba McEntire and Dale Earnhardt.
Oops.
And so close. Returning to our Washington Wizards question, what were the Washington Wizards called before their name change in 1995? The Spellmans wrote down the Washington Apples, which I don't know if... Oh, you know what? Isn't Washington the top apple-producing state?
It is.
Ah, that's why they wrote that. I was confused. I was like, are they thinking of New York? But now it makes sense. Ah, that's actually a very clever answer. Cutie with a Booty wrote down the Washington Magicians. I like the logic there. From magicians to wizards. It's like it's like some kind of promotion. Something like that. And then Meme Team wrote down the Washington Senators, which I believe is a baseball team from Washington, D.C.
Yes.
Not a basketball team from Washington State. What?
Or no, the Senators...
Aren't they?
That's a hockey team, I think.
Oh, my bad. We'll have to look that up. We'll have to look that up. What are the three earth signs in astrology? Bennett 4 wrote down Earth, Wind, and Fire. John Wick wrote down Big Dipper, Little Dipper, and the Moon. Those would be, of course, Mark. What were they? You guys answered this, didn't you? Didn't you guys get this one right?
We did.
Yeah, the three earth signs in astrology.
We got this wrong.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we had like... I mean, Kristen was the one kind of saving our ass by putting down, of course, the dates that we were born in and crossing those, because we were trying to find three that worked out. And basically, all the ones that Kristen knew or thought she knew, I didn't know how correct she was, but they basically covered from January to like June or July.
Mm.
So then it was, do we want to do the three in the fall or three in the winter? And we just like strung three together. I think we may have gotten one of them.
I think it's Capricorn, Virgo, and Taurus, if I remember correctly.
Hmm.
I don't have the correct answer written down here, unfortunately, but you can miss corrections list if that's not right. What 2001 live-action animated film stars Chris Rock, Lawrence Fishburne, David Hyde Pierce, William Shatner, and Bill Murray? Lost in Place wrote down The Incredible Mr. Limpet. I believe that's way before 2001.
Yes.
A little closer, a lot of teams wrote down Space Jam. Which Bill Murray was in Space Jam.
He was.
I don't believe Chris Rock, Lawrence Fishburne. Was David Hyde Pierce in Space Jam? That would be entertaining.
I think he might have been. It's been
a
long time.
Was he a voice in that? Of one of the, like, the little aliens?
That would not surprise me at all.
Well, the answer is Osmosis Jones.
Yes.
Osmosis Jones is the answer I was looking for there.
Fletcher knew that one.
Mm-hmm. In the System of a Down song, Toxicity, what is considered to be a pastime activity? I was frankly shocked at how few teams got this right. I thought this was almost a shoo-in. It's such a popular song, but is it only popular in like my bubble?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. That's exactly it.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, a bunch of people that lived off of that album when it came out. And
yeah, the memes are getting so, and the algorithms are getting so refined. I feel like all of my friends know the song. It's been memed to death, but out there in the general population, what is considered to be a pastime activity in the System of a Down song, Toxicity? Seth was kind of close. He wrote down suicide. Meme Team wrote down self-righteous suicide. Cutie with a Booty wrote down what is a pastime activity in the song, Yeeting Lee. Yeeting Lee. Same person that wrote down tossing.
Yeeting Lee is a pastime.
Then we had a lot of people that were just like, oh, System of a Down, Toxicity, this song's about drugs. They're drinking cough meds as a pastime activity. They're doing the cocaine as a pastime activity. They're smoking ciggies as a pastime activity. My favorite, though, from Team Hackerspace, they wrote down so painfully close, breathing trees. Breathing trees is a pastime activity. The correct answer, though, is
eating seeds.
Eating seeds, yes. Yep, and then the Anthony Bourdain book, casseroles could not pull together Kitchen Confidential, so they wrote down Anthony Bourdain's book, Damn, That's Good.
Okay.
So those are my best worst answers of the week, and again, shout out to the team that wrote down pint. That's a unit of weight.
Yes, absolutely. The Washington Senators became the Minnesota Twins.
So baseball.
Yes.
Ah, I was right.
And I think it's Washington Capitals is the, yeah, that's the hockey team. Okay.
All right.
All is right with the world.
Yes. Okay. Mark, do you have a final question for me?
I think that I do. What was the name of the child that Roseanne and Dan Connor had in the seventh season of Roseanne?
Becky 3. No, Becky was one character played by two actresses.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But they did have a little child that, if I remember correctly, is totally absent, retconned out of the remake, the short-lived Roseanne remake, now known as The Connors.
I was so excited to see that show because that's a show that I remember watching with my parents. Like,
yeah.
We didn't have a very long time of sitting down as a family and watching TV shows, but that was one of the shows that we watched.
Mm-hmm. So just pure good nostalgia for you there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just good old-fashioned nostalgia. And, yeah, I stopped watching before the show was done, thank Christ. And then I heard about how they, you know, oh, Dan killed, had a heart attack.
Yep, killed all, Dan.
All this stupid shit.
Who's laughing now, though?
Yeah.
Dan.
Well, and I didn't get a chance to see the new episodes before I found out what's her name was a numbnut. So oh, I didn't this, even.
You didn't know? I knew going in. I was like, oh, boy,
no
here
clue.
We go.
No
here
clue.
We go. Just a few years ago, she dressed up like Hitler for a photo shoot, and she was holding a tray full of cookies, gingerbread cookies that looked like Holocaust victims.
Jesus Christ.
And that's who ABC decided to launch the career of. It was a matter of time,
yeah,
I think.
That's
you know.
Terrible.
Yeah. What was the name of this little squirt? Dan Jr.
The correct answer is Jerry Garcia.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, that's kind of cute. I like that. Yeah, there's going to be a Grateful Dead jam band night here in Fort Myers at Beach Records coming up soon.
I heard about that.
Not a big fan, but I would like to go see some aspect of that live, you know. I would not. Well, I have like no interest in like going to big concert festivals anymore, which is where a lot of bands like that play. So to see it in a smaller venue, that's like right up my alley.
Gotcha.
These days. All right, I have a final question for you. It's a bit of a doozy, and maybe you know it. I feel like we have similar interests in terms of like comedy and entertainment and performance. So I'm going to read you a fictional product sales pitch. And if you would, tell me what is the name of the product that this is a sales pitch for.
Okay.
This is a ancient meme question. Okay. I'll give you a little history, too, before you answer, just so you know where this came from. Here we go. For what fictional product is the following a sales pitch for? Stick with me. For a number of years now, work has been proceeding in order to bring perfection to the crudely conceived idea of a transmission that would not only supply inverse reactive current for use in unilateral phase detractors, but would also be capable of automatically synchronizing cardinal grammeters. Such an instrument is this one. Now, basically, the only new principle involved is that instead of power generated by the relative motion of conductors and fluxes, It is produced by the modal interaction of magnetoreluctance and capacitive diractance.
The original machine
had a base plate of pre-famulated amulite, surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing, in such a way that the two spurving bearings were in a direct line with the magnetic fan. The latter consisted simply of six hydrocoptic Marsla vanes, so fitted into the ambifactorian lunar wane shaft that side fumbling was effectively prevented. The main winding was of the normal Lotus O Delta type, placed in panindromic semi-bulloid slots of the stator. Every seventh conductor being connected by a non-reversible tremie pipe to the differential hurdle spring on the up end of the gray meters. This magnificent machine has now reached a high level of development, and it's being successfully used in the operation of Nova Trunnions. Moreover, when a force and score motion is required, it may also be employed in conjunction with a drawn reciprocating dingle arm to reduce sinusoidal replenaration. It's not cheap, but I'm sure the government will buy it. Hold up price tag of $75 million. What fictional product is that a sales pitch for? Written by a British science student in 1944, reprinted by Time magazine in 1946, realized in a technical document by General Electric in 1962, and later popularized by voiceover actor Bud Haggart in the late 70s, which may be where you've seen it before. What is the name of this product?
I feel abused. I feel hurt. I feel scared.
You can cuddle up with me if you need some protection.
That's so much stuff.
Yeah.
And you know I'm in no shape to hear that many words at once.
I know. You know, when I was writing this, I was like, should I put the name of it in there? Because there's just so much jargon that I'll just read it and then say, what is the name of the product?
Like, I want to ask you to read it again, but it's so much.
I can't do that.
Tell me the stuff at the end.
Well, I don't mention the name. You just want to hear it again?
No. Oh, I know you say blah, 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 blah.
What fictional product is that a sales pitch for? Written by a British science student in 1944. So the student was hanging out.
You say fictional?
Yes. It's a fictional product. It's not real.
Okay.
Reprinted by Time magazine in 1946. So Time came across this and was like, this is funny. Let's put it in. They ended up getting a slew of letters, like, of people that thought it was like a baby changing device. People basically projected
their,
you know, whatever they wanted this product to be and were writing into Time about it. General Electric caught wind of the joke in 1962, and they actually like made a whole technical document detailing all of these things that were mentioned in the sales pitch. And then voiceover actor Bud Haggart in the late 70s, he read this and he said, this is a perfect description of how much of an idiot I feel like when I have to read all these damn technical documents. I don't understand what the hell is going on. I'm just going to memorize this and present it as a sales pitch. And I believe he put the, you know, it's not cheap, but I'm sure the government will buy it on the end. I think that might have been his addition.
So it's a fake thing.
It's totally fake. This is a you either know it or you don't type thing.
I'm going to call it. I'll say a whatchamacallit.
Oh, that's a good guess because it's a good generic name, but the name actually fits kind of with the jargon-esque speech in the sales pitch itself. It's called the Turbo Encabulator.
I've never heard of that before in my life.
We're going to put a link to the video in the show notes. I think it's hilarious, personally.
Mm-hmm.
It has its own Wikipedia page. Obviously, that's where I found all this extra information about it. But yeah, this is, like I said, this is kind of like Kilroy. It's an ancient meme, but obviously not as popular
as
the Kilroy one. But thanks for sitting through that.
No, that was cute.
I just remembered the Turbo Encabulator video the other day, and I was like, I wonder how many people know about that, you know?
Yeah.
A bit of rare trivia for you. Mark.
Lee.
What a great 25th episode this has been.
How fantastic.
Yeah.
And I look forward to another 25 more with you.
Hell yeah.
And to all these listeners.
Thank you, everybody, for listening and joining us in with these last 25 episodes. That concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My name is Lee Brushneider. You can catch me hosting No Nonsense Trivia live on Mondays at Three Pepper Burrito Company in downtown Fort Myers at 7:30. Then again on Wednesdays at Bury Me Brewing, also in Fort Myers. That one starts at 7 o'clock. And each and every Thursday evening at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in downtown Cape Coral, that show starting at 7:30. Mark, where can you be found on Wednesday evenings?
Wednesday nights from 9 until 10:30, folks, at Nice Guys Pints and Pies in historic downtown Cape Coral. And I just want to point out real quick that the 25th anniversary. It's the silver anniversary.
Indeed.
It's a beautiful thing. But we want gold. We want 5 stars, ladies and gentlemen.
5 golden stars for 25 golden episodes.
It would be beautiful. You can just leave 5 5-star reviews. That's 25.
Yeah. And share the podcast with a friend if you would.
Or 5.
Or 5.
Or 25.
25 would be great.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Also, join us every Monday for a new episode by subscribing. Mm-hmm. If you're just a new listener on your favorite podcast platform, you can go to our website, thenono.com, and you'll see all the little buttons right under the header there of all the services that we're on. We're on pretty much every major podcast platform you can think of. Sorry again about last week's kerfuffle on Spotify. Shot off an empty episode.
Yeah, it started sounding like crazy.
We'll try to double check that in the future. You can also support the podcast, as some of our wonderful listeners do, by going to thenono.com, clicking the support link in the upper right hand corner. That will take you to our Patreon page, and of course, write us.
Come on,
you heard all the fun we had. What reading and interacting with our favorite listeners.
Send us email.
NoNonsenseTrivia@gmail.com. Gil, it's been a while since we heard from you, buddy. You okay?
Yeah, come on. You all right?
We're wondering. Please also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia. Finally, as Mark mentioned, don't forget to leave us our silver anniversary gift, a golden review, if you would. A silver anniversary gift with a golden review.
Silver and gold.
On Apple Podcasts. 5 stars only, please. Until next time, no nonsense listeners.